Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Firestone Destination AT2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Friday, April 26th. What a night in the NFL draft. Holy Toledo. It was so big that it basically rendered the Cavs losing by 75 to the Magic, and Joel Embiid suffering from Bell's palsy and then going Steph Curry against the Knicks and the Lakers losing. It rendered all that irrelevant. It was the NFL draft. They did a great job keeping mystery around what was happening. And then as the draft unfolded, obviously we'll talk about Michael Penix right off the bat. Just an insane situation developing in Atlanta. I can like Michael Penix a lot, and I just don't love what he's about to go through at all. I mean, it just seems brutal for Penix. And then you've got the situation brewing with the 49ers, who, in one of the bigger shocking developments, draft a receiver at 31. And now it looks like Ayuk or Deebo Samuel is going to get shipped maybe before the second round begins. So a lot of crazy stuff happening in the league. And I guess we got to wait for the schedule to come out before you can make sweeping assumptions. I'll just say before I dive into Penix, I don't know how you can't love the Chicago Bears going into next season. And I know you can't win the Super Bowl in free agency and the draft. You can't do it. But I'm just telling you right now, the Bears have gotten so much better. Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and now Rome Odunze. I mean, that is instantly, that wide receiver room went from DJ Moore and a poo-poo platter of guys to, okay, this might be a top seven receiver room, even though Rome has never played a game. I mean, Keenan Allen, obviously, if he's healthy, he's a superstar. And let's say he's 90%. Okay, wonderful. He's awesome as a number two to DJ Moore. Like, that is really something for Chicago. Obviously, the coaching leaves something to be desired. But I'm just telling you right now, I could see the Bears as a wild card team. I don't think that's that hot of a take. The question is what happens in the rest of the NFC, and the big team to watch right now is the Atlanta Falcons, because they go spend $100 million on Kirk Cousins, 2 years guaranteed money, and everybody thinks the Falcons are going to the playoffs. They're better than the Saints. Forget about the Tampa Bay Bucks. Carolina's still figuring things out. Carolina's going to be better. That's obvious. We're not going to dive into it now, but they will be better. And then what do we make of Atlanta and Kirk Cousins? Well, they're in good shape. We like their tight end. We like their receiver. You know, they don't really have a defense. Can they add a defender? Everybody had them going defensive end, edge rusher in the draft. Some people said, oh, well, you know, maybe you trade down and get more picks. In the biggest shocker of the first round, the Atlanta Falcons selected Michael Penix, the superstar quarterback from Washington. And instantly, it's like, whoa, hold the phone. You're telling me you just paid Kirk Cousins literally 2 months ago $100 million and 2 full years guaranteed, and now you're drafting his secession plan? Oh, we're just going to pivot to Penix in 2 years. So let me just break this down. Why I think they did a disservice to Penix. They clearly had to piss off Kirk Cousins. And while the idea in theory is not bad, I think in reality, it's just terrible for all parties involved. So let's explain the Kirk Cousins side. Kirk Cousins is now a man about town in Atlanta. He's embracing the city. His kids, his family, he's moved into Atlanta. Oh, they love it. He's doing interviews. And now, essentially, he's been told with this draft pick, and they apparently just called him when they were on the clock to say, hey, we're going with a quarterback, don't sweat it. Like, what? You're telling me they just sent the message to Kirk Cousins, hey, buddy, you're good for 2 years. After that, we're going to pivot to Penix. Like, what kind of message is that? And here's the worst part. What if, you know, Cousins is coming off an Achilles. What if he's not great? And he goes out in week four and struggles with two picks, and then they have a primetime game, but we know he has struggled in primetime, and he throws two more. Are they booing him at home and calling for Penix? And is there going to be pressure to put in the rookie, even though they have a plan? Like, Kirk Cousins, he might struggle. New city, new team, new offense, coming off the Achilles. Like, there's a real chance he goes through a funk, and the fans, you know. Growing up, I'll never forget this. The most popular guy in every NFL city is the backup quarterback, because the pressure's on the quarterback to deliver. And the second the quarterback starts to, I don't know, struggle, get in a funk, it's like, let's see the backup. Come on, let's bring on the backup. Let's see what he's got. Jarrett Stidham, remember him? One game with the Raiders, and everybody thought, oh, Jarrett Stidham, that's a guy next year. And then, you know, Denver overpays him, and now it's like, oh, what are we doing in Denver with Stidham? And you go up and down the league, it's like everybody loves the backup because there's no pressure on him. He's going in to maybe save the day and be the hero because the starter couldn't get it done, the overpaid starter. But now here's the Penix side of the story. Bro, I'm 23 years old. I turned 24 in May. My clock is ticking. I got to sit for 2 years? I'm not like a 21-year-old who had 1 year as a starter. He played 5 years of college football. The guy's got 45 starts, and now you're going to wait for 2 years? Huh? How's that work out? Penix is coming off a tremendous season in Washington, 36 touchdowns, lost in the Natty, but he was awesome. He's going to wait 2 years? I mean, J.J. McCarthy, is he going to win the starting job over Sam Darnold? I don't know. Maybe. Bo Nix, probably the starter in Denver. We know Caleb's starting. We know Jaden Daniels is starting. We know Drake May's starting. So Penix, who's clearly ready, has to wait essentially 2 years? Again, I like Michael Penix a lot. I thought Miami would have been an amazing fit for Penix. Left-hander, slides right in, don't have to pay Tua, makes all the sense in the world. I thought Seattle, where his offensive coordinator went, that Seahawks could have made a lot of sense. His offensive coordinator from Washington is now with the Seahawks. And he ends up in Atlanta behind Kirk Cousins, who has 2 years of guaranteed money coming his way. And it's not like it's $10 million guaranteed. That's the problem. If it was small money, maybe they just take the cap hit and move on. But I can see Kirk Cousins not being thrilled. And I could see Michael Penix like being like, all right, Atlanta's a cool city, but damn, I got to sit for 2 years? So now you have essentially Penix rooting against Kirk Cousins because, right, you're the backup. You would love it if the guy in front of you failed and you got thrown into the fire. And then a quick word on that. I did see the video that was circulating last night about Arthur Blank kind of being explained to why they went with Penix, and Blank is like kind of, you can't hear anything, but you could see him gesturing and the GM's like trying to explain it. And it was like, oh, they didn't run this past the owner. Hey, we just spent a lot of money on a quarterback and now we're going to add one. Like Cousins' agent is already pushing the war. Are they not trying to win now? It's not like the Falcons have done anything recently since Matt Ryan took him to the Super Bowl. Are they not trying to win now? Now, you could argue, well, is an edge rusher going to make them win now? I don't know. I would have traded down. Couldn't you argue that Michael Penix would have been there a little later? Was anybody going to take him? Again, these are unanswered questions, and I'm sure reporters will come out and say, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. It's just a wacky scenario all around, Rob. Rob, it felt like everybody got a quarterback, except your Raiders. Five of the first 10 picks were quarterbacks. Six of the first 12 were quarterbacks. And the Raiders, the run ended right before the Raiders drafted Brock Bowers, the tight end from the Georgia Bulldogs. That's a good pick. I don't know who's throwing in the ball. Gardner Minshew, maybe. But just a wacky, wild, fun first round in the NFL draft. Your thoughts on Penix, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, as a Raider fan, once it became clear we weren't going to be able to trade up to get Jaden Daniels, I wanted Michael Penix Jr. at 13. And obviously, that did not go the way I expected it to go. And I know I'm going to take some heat for this, but this is legitimately how I feel. This is not a ruse. I'm not putting it on just to make the show more interesting. But I don't hate this move by the Atlanta Falcons. I know that they've been getting killed all last night and into this morning. How could you do this? You know, you just signed Kirk Cousins to $11 billion, and now you're going to draft a 24-year-old or soon-to-be 24-year-old quarterback, and he's going to sit there for 6 years? Like, what are you doing? You made a lot of good points in your opening monologue there about Kirk Cousins, about the reality of the Kirk Cousins situation. Reality number one, Kirk Cousins coming off a torn Achilles, okay? We have no idea how he's going to respond moving forward. I'm optimistic. I think he's going to be okay. He's never been the most fleet of foot athletic guy to begin with, so I don't imagine it's going to really hamper him too much, but you never know. That's number one. Number two, the contract he signed. Oh, he signed 4 years, 180. Oh, he got $100 million guaranteed. It's like, yeah, but you know how this works in the NFL. This is all funny money. Like, none of this is actually $180 million, and honestly, it's not actually $100 million, because if you look at his contract, and over the cap actually crashed after this trade, true story. When this trade was made, there were a number of people in sports media trying to get access to the Kirk Cousins contract just to see, it's like, did we miss something? Did we miss something? And it's like, no, you didn't. It's just, this website is not meant to handle that much traction. So according to over the cap, I had to go to because SpotTrack had crashed. First 2 years, there's no outs, right? He's got $90 million guaranteed. 90. There's no way around it, right? But in 2026, when Kirk Cousins will be age 38, they could do a post-June 1 designation cut, and the dead cap's only $12.5 million. So again, if you are the Atlanta Falcons, this is point number three, and you have not had even average quarterback play since 2018, with the list that goes as follows. The corpse of Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and Taylor Heinicke as your starters. I don't hate the idea of you getting your succession plan in place now, especially if you believe, which I think they do, that Kirk Cousins is going to be fine. He's going to be okay. We gave him all this money for a reason. He's going to get us in the playoff chase. We're going to be a, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 win team, hopefully. We're not going to get a chance to draft a talent like Michael Penix Jr. again if Kirk Cousins is as good as we think he is.
Yeah.
So if you have a guy right there staring you in the face, and according to James Palmer, used to be the NFL Network, and he kind of got unfortunately let go in the last couple of weeks with that massive bloodletting they had over there. There were three other teams who attempted to trade up for Penix. My Raiders, the Saints, the Seahawks.
So the Saints?
Yes. None of those teams, as far as I know, picked below 16.
Mm.
So where realistically could you have gone down in the draft and still get Penix? I don't know. Like, maybe you trade down with the Jets, but who says the Jets want to move up? Maybe you trade down with the Vikings, but who says they wouldn't take Penix themselves? They seem like they made that last-ditch effort for J.J. McCarthy because they, you know, there was, the quarterback run was ending, basically. So they saw a guy that they like. I think we can all agree that Penix slings it as good as anybody in this class. Were it not for his injury history, I don't think he even is in a question that he's a top five pick, point blank, period. So if you can get him, be patient, see what you got in Kirk Cousins. If it's good, don't worry about it. We Jordan love him. If it's not good,
we
have him ready to go. You mentioned he's mature. He's played a lot of football. He can come in and play relatively quickly with the weapons you already have there. Again, I don't hate this move by Atlanta.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Listen, I don't hate it. I don't love it. And I can see it go there. I feel like there's a better than, I think there's a better chance for this to go spectacularly badly than great. Well, what's a best result after three? Because like if you they got him on the in the rookie deal, right? So you don't have to pay him until after year four, right? Or you could pick up the fifth year option. So essentially, you know how like Joe Burrow had like this long runway before you got to pay him, and then you know the value is gone in his contract, of the rookie contract. So they're burning through 2 years of Penix. They'll have essentially 2 years with him, and remember, by that point, they'll have to have paid Drake London and Kyle Pitts. And what's interesting is, in the last four drafts, Rob, they've gone Kyle Pitts in the top 10, Drake London in the top 10, Bijan Robinson in the top 10, and Michael Penix in the top 10. Like, they're going all in on offense, which I get. The first 14 players that were drafted tonight were on offense. And it's one of those situations right now where it's like, this is an offensive league. It's like in the NBA. Shoot the three, live by the three, die by the three. That's where we are now. It's a math equation. It's like baseball with Moneyball. Everybody's doing the same thing. Right now, it's get the quarterback on the rookie deal, surround him with as much offense as you can, see what the Houston Texans are doing, and go for the glory. And you know what? Nobody really gets stops anyway. The Eagles couldn't get stops against Mahomes in the Super Bowl. 49ers couldn't get stops against Mahomes. The Chiefs got a stop of Brock Purdy held into a field goal, and like, That's really all you need. You need offense. And I guess you could argue what they're doing is right. I worry that this just isn't going to go. I mean, how do you feel? How do you think Kirk Cousins is going to feel, Rob? He's going to be looking over his shoulder all the time. All the time. And maybe, yes, it was like when Patriots drafted, Jimmy Garoppolo. But he wasn't a first-round pick. Now, Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay, and they drafted Jordan Love first round, and Rodgers got pissed and went nuclear and won two MVP awards in a row, I think. So Jordan Love essentially had to sit for 3 years. Then they ran off Rodgers. Love just had his first year, and now they got to pay him. So maybe that scenario unfolds, right? Maybe it's a Jordan Love. Now, but Penix went eighth. Love was like 23rd or something? I don't know, Rob. I mean, it is the Atlanta Falcons, so it'll be a circus.
The fact remains is, and you mentioned, because everyone's bringing up the quarterback contract. You want to get guy on the rookie scale, because that is definitely the easiest way to build a contending roster. You get the young quarterback, you're not paying him anything, you can build out the rest of your roster real heavy, a la the San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, up until recently the Buffalo Bills. Like, that's been Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. That's been the way to do it. The problem, though, is what happens if you miss on that quarterback? What happens if that quarterback just isn't any good? Much is being made of this particular class having six guys drafted in the first round, actually six in the top 12. But yeah, 2021 is not that far long ago, okay? Trey Lance was pick number three. He was traded for a fourth-round pick. Mac Jones was taken, traded from the Patriots to the Jags for a sixth-rounder. Justin Fields traded for a conditional sixth-rounder. Zach Wilson, which is the most embarrassing thing possible, traded for a pick swap with the Broncos. Like, bad. The only guy who's even decent from that class is Trevor Lawrence, and he has 60 turnovers in his first three seasons. So there's no guarantee that any of these quarterbacks are gonna work out. But if you are Atlanta and you feel confident in this guy and you have him almost as an insurance policy, there's less pressure on him. You can develop him in a more structured way, and you're not throwing him out to the wolves and crushing his confidence before he even builds any up.
Yeah. Do you remember when Washington drafted RG3 and then in the same draft took Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
And people were like, oh, I don't like that. And at the time I was like, that's not awful. And now I feel like this move, if you just had to say, Jason, would you do this? And like, I would have to, you know, nobody does, has the access that the teams do to these players. Like maybe, you know, the edge rusher from Alabama or the edge rusher from UCLA or Murphy, maybe none of those guys really checked any boxes. But here's my thing. If that's the case, trade back and give it up for Penix. Hey, you want to come up and get Penix? Give me multiple picks. Because that's the best way to build out your roster, is having more bites at the apple. I mean, Rob, how about this? We'll have a draft. And you can have 7 picks and I'll get 12. Like, who do you think is going to come out better? It's a numbers game. It's similar to hitting on women at bars. It's like, listen, you go out and try to meet 10 girls, you're going to get a few numbers. You just go up to one girl, two girls, like, the odds are not as great. I don't know. Ultimately, I probably would not have done this. I understand why they did. I like Penix. My gut tells me it's not going to work out. Let me pivot to the Niners real quick. I love this Niners team. I think the weapons are great. And there have been reports that Brandon Ayuk is unhappy. We've talked about it on this podcast. And now comes a report that Ayuk was in trade talks, maybe to Carolina, which was sitting at 33. And the Niners would then have shipped Ayuk to Carolina, given another weapon to Bryce Young. And San Fran would have had their pick of the litter to start second round. Second round first pick is highly, hugely valuable. But Buffalo decided, it was Buffalo and Kansas City and Carolina said, we're just going to go up and get Leggett, the wide receiver from South Carolina. He's kind of a sleeper. I kind of like him. I had him in the first round of one or two of my mocks. I don't remember if it was the last one or not. But so Carolina grabs him at 32. Buffalo now has the 33rd pick. Kansas City went up to 28 to get Worthy, the kid from Texas. I guess they thought like Jerry Jones was going to make a run at Worthy or maybe Baltimore. Looks like Odell Beckham's done there. But Buffalo's now at 33. So the speculation is with the Niners not wanting to pay Ayuk, maybe wanting to move off Debo, one of those two feels like it's going to get shipped. The Niners draft Ricky Pearsall, this kid out of Florida, who's good. I mean, they must see something I don't. I didn't know he was that good. Played at Arizona State, played at Florida, kind of an athletic freak, 4'4 guy with the speed. But by drafting him, they just gave a tell that come get Ayuk to everyone. Now, Buffalo, remember, just moved off Diggs. Does Buffalo say, okay, we'll take Debo or Ayuk? And now, if you're Buffalo and your wide receiver room is arguably the worst in the league, I mean, you give me Debo Samuel with Josh Allen? Oh, my gosh. That is filthy. I like Ayuk a lot. I don't like all the chirping, and I wonder if Buffalo wants to go from Diggs to Ayuk, but I don't know, Rob. This feels to me like I said on the Herd Thursday that I think the Bengals window is shrinking as Trey Hendrickson says he wants out. I want a new contract, basically. And T. Higgins is like, get me a new contract too or trade me. And now T. Higgins comes in the mix with the Buffalo Bills because it's like, all right, well, would you take would Buffalo take T. Higgins? Now, I don't know that Cincinnati would do that in the conference, but San Fran is in the NFC. That makes more sense to me. But T. Higgins, Debo, Ayuk, I don't know, Rob. I would probably lean Debo, although he's got the biggest injury history of the three just because he does so many things. But Ayuk, Higgins, you can't go wrong with any of those. And Buffalo's in a good spot. I do think their Super Bowl window is closed, and I think Cincinnati is very close as well. But I don't know. Smart move by Buffalo here to position themselves to kind of have their pick at 33.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they were getting roasted on Twitter during the draft because they traded with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs got the fastest wide receiver in the draft. Like, how are you going to give Andy Reid another weapon like that? And it's like, bro, you can't operate that way. You can't make trades or not make trades based on who you're trading with. Like,
he's a straight line.
But you got to do what you think is best for your team. Point. Like, it doesn't matter who you're trading with or whatever. Do what you think is best for the Buffalo Bills. And according to Mike Silver, who worked in the Bay Area forever, and I believe he's now with the Chronicle up there, said late on Thursday night, based on my conversation with other teams, the Niners are now more likely to deal Debo than Ayuk. Stay tuned for that.
Come on.
And here's, at first I was kind of taken aback by that because I've always thought that Debo, along with Trent Williams, like the heart and soul of that team. Like they were the tone setters. Those were the guys who kind of gave them their edge that they need to play the way that they do.
Yeah.
And that's, so I was kind of surprised at that. And then I started talking to a few guys who cover the team or around the team in the Bay Area. And surprisingly, the majority of them said, if you had to choose one, Debo or Ayuk, they'd rather keep Ayuk. Mm-hmm. And the rationale is the contract he just signed. He's got a 3-year extension that he started before last season. He's got 2 years, just under $53 million left on that one. His age, he's 28. And you alluded to his injury history. You know, because of his style of play and the way that he moves around and the way that they kind of gadget him and take him out of the backfield and do a lot of things with him, and his aggressive after the catch style, he lends himself open to more injury. And then here's the other thing that they pointed out, which I didn't even think of, is that they already have a guy who can do all the gadget stuff. And it is a better. And his name is Christian McCaffrey.
Well,
Christian McCaffrey,
he has an injury history.
Yeah, but
too.
McCaffrey can do everything that Debo Samuel can do at a higher level. So if it's really a numbers crunch and you're worried about the looming Brock Purdy contract, or you're looming about, you know, keeping that defense together, then I understand wanting to move off of one of those guys. And if you're Buffalo, you absolutely need a wide receiver. So getting themselves at the top of the second round, which for whatever reason is like one of the most valuable picks in the NFL draft, because these guys, you know, go all in for Thursday night in round one. Then they kind of get this reprieve and like, oh man, we got 14 hours to prepare for round two. And suddenly whoever's picking at 33 has like the keys to the kingdom. So Buffalo is in a position where they can, you know, pick which guy that they want. And I think that I would not be surprised if by this time tomorrow, Debo Samuel is the new wide receiver one in Buffalo.
That's scary. I just hate that the Jets now watch as the Patriots get Drake May, right? I think he's going to be very good. You guys can doubt. And I saw the whole clip on Belichick blasting and blah. I'm just, Bill Belichick rips Drake May. Like, okay. Am I supposed to, Rob, what was your reaction to the, like, Belichick taking him apart? Like, that's what Belichick's supposed to do. Right?
He's had a terrible track record of drafting players recently. So I don't know if Bill Belichick's
could add to it.
Is like,
didn't he draft Mac Jones?
He did draft Mac Jones.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't get worked up about that. So of course Jets, they're kind of irrelevant here, but I did like the trade back, pick up an extra couple, two picks and lost one, but went offensive line. I think the big story besides Niners and Falcons and Penix is just, I think there's got to be a reason teams are gambling on quarterbacks the way they are and did in the COVID year. And the only thing I could come up with when I asked people about this last night was, well, having a quarterback on the books for 5 years to find out is good, but most of these teams are determining after like two or three, we're done with this guy. But why not? Why are we seeing so many quarterbacks going in the first round the way, I mean, if you look back at 2014 and 15, some of those years, there were like two, three, maybe four. We're talking six in the top 12. That's never happened before. And like, there's still going to be a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks. Like, I'll tell you right now, the New York Giants, after the season, probably going to need a quarterback. Tennessee Titans, unless Will Levis is a hit, they're going to need a quarterback. You keep going on the list. Aaron Rodgers says he's retiring. Jets are going to need a quarterback. So that's three right there. Raiders, they still need one, right? Seattle, probably going to need a quarterback unless Geno Smith is better than he was 2 years ago. Rams, let's see what's up with Matt Stafford. Getting up there in age. He's had some injuries. Pittsburgh, probably going to be a new coach. And I don't know that Russ is long. So we're still going to have like four, five, six teams at the top looking at quarterbacks. And, you know, before we get to the NBA, I'll just say this. Rob, did you see Amon-Ra St. Brown is now the highest paid receiver in the league?
Yes.
He's probably not a top five receiver according to anybody, right?
Yeah, but he's very good. I like him a lot.
He's very good. Yeah. Okay, fine. Top highest paid receiver. And then Penei Sewell, very good lineman, now the highest paid lineman in the league. Well, you know who's up for a contract too, right? Jared Goff. And it's like, we don't know what we're going to pay him. Like, what are you doing with Goff? How long are you going to wait on this? Because, I don't know, Rob, do you think that they're building out the team the way the Niners are, and they're going to say, you know, Goff is good, but can we get, I don't know, 70% of Goff with a rookie? I mean, the Niners, with Purdy, got over 100% of Garoppolo. You're telling me that the Lions can't find someone? And you start to worry about some of these quarterbacks, like Jared Goff. Like, Jared Goff would have a market. I mean, if obviously he doesn't want to go outdoors to a team like the Jets, he's an indoor quarterback, but I would keep an eye on the Lions and this Goff situation. They went to the NFC Championship last. They were within like 4 minutes of the Super Bowl, and I don't think it was his fault that they didn't get there. And they're not paying him. That, maybe I'm overreacting, but what's also weird is Tua hasn't gotten his money. Dak hasn't gotten his money. Jordan Love hasn't. It's like, oh, who are they waiting to blink? Did Trevor Lawrence get his?
No. He has not.
Huh.
But you know what? I think that you're onto something, and I think it's a bigger picture conversation that you and friend of the show Albert Breer had a few weeks ago when he was on the podcast. Is we are now getting to a point, it feels like, as it relates to the quarterback position, where it's no longer, hey, it's your turn, you're the next highest paid guy. All right, Justin Herbert's turn, he's next. And then Burrow's turn, his turn. The Trevor Lawrence, and then Dak Prescott, and so on and so on and so on. There was a time, recall, that my guy Derek Carr was the highest paid quarterback in football. There was a time when Jimmy Garoppolo was the highest paid. Like, it didn't matter exactly how good you were. It's just, if it was your turn to get paid, you were going to reset the market. And the NFL has gotten to a point where they're getting smarter. That they understand that you want to pay the player, not the position. Jared Goff is very good, but I'm not going to pay him $60 million a year, you know, fully guaranteed. And so I think you're seeing that play out now in the draft, especially in this most recent one, this last first round, because if it's only going to cost me $5 million against the cap to take a shot at a quarterback, why wouldn't I? And if it doesn't work out, 2 years, do it again. It doesn't work out, 2 years, do it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it behooves you, because that, again, is the cleanest, most direct way to build a Super Bowl contender, is the quarterback on the rookie deal. So now that we don't have those Sam Bradford, you know, first round pick, and you automatically the highest paid player in football, and now there's this rookie scale, it would make sense why the quarterback position is even more valuable than it was before, because, you know, you just got to find the right guy at the right value to really take your team over the top.
Yeah. We'll be brief here on the NBA just because it's all about the draft and second round, third round. Next 2 days are going to be fun as well.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Yokohama tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Yokohama test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I don't know what to say about the Lakers. I had a buddy, season ticket holder, who went to the game with his fam, and he's like, this is the loudest I've ever heard it. And another buddy of mine was like, I haven't seen a crowd this juiced up. Like, they were into it. Lakers jump out to a 14-5 lead. Lakers are winning. Lakers cover first quarter. Lakers cover first half. I didn't bet either of them. I stayed away from this game. And then my men's league game started. We rolled, but we didn't play great, and opponent wasn't great. We didn't have all our guys. So at halftime, I go over, and I look, and I'm like, I'm squinting. I'm like, oh my gosh, the friggin' Lakers are down 10? It was like end of the third quarter, and I was like, again. And so I went back and watched, and it was like, it's Groundhog Day. Essentially, Lakers come out strong. Lakers take the lead. Denver does a couple tweaks at halftime, and next thing you know, Denver's winning in the third quarter, and that's a wrap. That's now twice in this series. It took them until the fourth quarter in game two, or it would have been three times. And the Lakers have lost 11 straight to Denver, and you know, LeBron is beating himself up, and Anthony Davis is pissed, and Darvin Ham's on the hot seat. They're chanting fire Darvin Ham, and D'Angelo Russell played 24 minutes and shot 0 of 7, 0 of 6 from 3, and Lakers could not throw it in the ocean. 5 of 27 from deep, and Denver was terrible too. Listen, here's the weird thing. Denver has not played great two games in a row, and they still won both games. Jokic, 24, 15, and 10. I'm ready for that. I'm sorry, 24, 15, and 9. I'm ready for that Tim Duncan Jokic conversation any day. Maybe one day next week, since Curry's out and Durant might be on his way out and LeBron's going to be out pretty soon. The supporting cast, like, I mean, Michael Porter's having a great series. Aaron Gordon, 29 and 15. How many times, by the way, did LeBron get caught napping as Aaron Gordon streaks by him for a dunk or layup? Like, I felt like that was a few too many. Anthony Davis, heroic stuff, but Rui Hachimura, just irrelevant. D'Angelo Russell, brutal. I don't know, Rob. It's over.
Yeah, it's definitely over. And I try to tell you after game two that it was over. You didn't want to believe. Yeah. You know,
I was trying to be optimistic.
Surprisingly, I'm the voice of reason here when it comes to the Lakers. That almost never happens. Look, man, it's they let go of the rope in the middle of the third quarter. Like, you know, that old saying is like, we're going to play tug of war. We're going to keep playing and keep pulling and keep pulling. And it's never it's never one team is just stronger than the other. It's just who's going to be the first one that's going to break. And the Lakers have officially broken. They broke probably middle of the second quarter there in game three. And it's disappointing because I do believe that if this was any other team that they were facing, the Lakers would probably be up 2-1 or 3-0 in their series. But because they're facing the Denver Nuggets, who just absolutely own us, and we have no good matchup for them, all the advantages we would have against every other team in the Western Conference are actually disadvantages against Denver. Yeah. Because we're not bigger than them, we can't bully them, and you know, it is what it is. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. We'll do that moratorium probably next week when they're officially dead and buried. But shout out to your guy, the Japanese Jordan, Rui Hachimura. You know, D'Angelo Russell was getting slandered all night because he had an offer and he was sitting aside from the huddle they had there in the fourth quarter. They had a fire Darvin Ham chant going there at Crypto. You know, I don't like ham sandwich. But the Japanese Jordan very quietly, averaging a robust 5 points, three rebounds on 33-33-50 splits while playing terrible defense. And nobody is talking about it. So shout out to Rui Hachimura.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Thibodeau and the Knicks get blitzed in the second half, and yet Jalen Brunson ends up playing 45 minutes.
Shout out to
Knicks are going to blow this damn series. 39 and 13 for Brunson. Great. He's finally got his shot together. He was shooting like 29% coming in. The Knicks didn't play poorly. It's just that Joel Embiid went off. He had 50, and he hit five threes. He 19 of 21 from the line. Tobias Harris still can't make anything. He was like me in the men's league. I had a rough night. I was like, it's funny because, you know, we're winning handily against some team. And I said to the commission, what am I, like 1 for 5 from three? He's like 1 of 6. I was like, damn, I'm going to be jacking second half. But like Tobias Harris didn't even get that chance, really. We only had 6 guys. So I'm out there honestly, get the ball. It's going up. Joel Embiid with the Bell's palsy and the knee, 41 minutes, 50 points. You know, I wish Tibbs had taken his foot off the gas and rested his guys in the fourth, but that's just not how he operates. Anyways, I don't have any bets on Friday's games. Maybe I'll post some on IG. I haven't even looked at the schedule because of the draft, but I fully expect Dallas to win. I think you look at Phoenix first quarter, first half. And I think you look at Pacers, let's see if Giannis returns, but I think Pacers are the side. So I would go with the three home teams. We'll see what happens. It's a lengthy Friday pod heading into the weekend, coming out of the weekend with a lot of draft stuff. I can't wait. And I guess we'll then do the funeral for the Lakers. Talk to you then.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.